placing yourself physically in a position of humility before God. But more importantly, your heart needs to be in a position of humility. We are coming to God because we have nowhere else to go to get what He can give us. Holy Spirit, we want to acknowledge your presence here, that you are the executor, the implementer of the plan of salvation in our life. You live in our heart. You empower us. You guide us. You convict us of our sin. You are grieved when we sin. You pour out the love of God in our heart. You remind us of things Jesus said. You empower our life. You flow through us like lightning. We pray for dunamis power, that we may be witnesses, acceptable witnesses to you in all the world. You say that we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and we shall be witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or the ends of the earth, or everywhere. So, Lord, we want to be your witnesses everywhere you send us, everywhere we end up going. But we need your power. We can't do it with our own power. We can't do it with our own wisdom. We can't do it with information in our head. We have to do it with your presence through our life. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you baptize us afresh with your power today. We are asking, we give you permission, we are submitting, yielding, surrendering to you. I pray you touch us. And Holy Spirit, as you know what we're going to talk about, I pray that you would encourage people today as they are discouraged, that you would strengthen those who are weak, that you would give vision to those who can't see, that you would speak to those who can't hear. We pray you would perform miracles in our life, through our life. We want to be witnesses. We want people to experience a supernatural God when they experience us, because a supernatural God lives in us and flows through us. We don't want to be people who just have information about the Bible in our head. We want to have God in our heart. So we ask you to fill us with power, that we may live a powerful life, that we may live a life that we can't live on our own, only through the power of God in our life. Thank you. Thank you. In 30 seconds, we're going to all stand. We're going to say amen, then we're going to stand. And as we stand, we want to give the God of heaven a standing ovation for being the God he is to us. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Let's stand and give the Lord of heaven a hand. Amen. 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 Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. You may be seated. How's everybody doing today? We want to say hello to everybody watching online. We want to say hello to everybody watching in North County and East County. As we give them a round of applause, I want y'all in East County and North County to give everybody else a round of applause. Let's all clap together. Amen. God bless y'all. God bless you. And we want to say hello to everybody in North County. We've had a church up there a couple of years, and they're watching this live right now. And we had officially a church in East County 2 weeks. It's their second week. We had 3,100 people last week at our launch. And so we want to say hello to them as well. God bless y'all. And, you know, I was an engineering student growing up, so I love numbers. You can't measure anything without a number. God is a numbers freak. If you ever read the Bible, he uses numbers all throughout the Bible, from the first chapter to the last. In the Old Testament, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the Jews at the bottom of the mountain, because Moses was at the top of the mountain, the Jews had a ceremony where they worshipped an idol. And God judged them, and 3,000 people died. So when God gave the law, 3,000 people died. When Pentecost happened in the New Testament and the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 people got saved. Amen. It's not a coincidence. Amen? When we started our church, and I don't know if there's any correlation, but I just like numbers. When we started our church, we had 300 people at our first service at San Diego State 13 years ago, which a mega church is 2,500. So we birthed a shack baby when we were born. We had 3,100 people last week in East County again. So let's give the Lord a hand on that. Amen. I have no idea if that means anything other than there's a lot of people, but I like numbers, and it's really encouraging. To whom much is given, much is required. So God gave us all those people. Now we have to do something with it, and we're going to serve those communities. So we want to put churches all over San Diego so we can mobilize those people to serve the community. That's the purpose, and have church. It's not just to save people to drive. Amen? Amen. We have some young people down here. This is our future right here, right here. Here's our future of the church right here. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Let's see your Bibles. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Word. One more time. Say word. Word. Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, Old Testament. You're like, man, where's 2 Chronicles? Well, opportunity to find it. 2 Chronicles, not 2 Corinthians. That's New Testament. 2 Chronicles 20. Several years ago, my son, who is now San Diego PD, amen, my son and I were invited to go shoot guns with some military people here in town. So we were absolutely, yes, we want to go shoot some guns. So we went to an undisclosed location in an undisclosed community here in undisclosed San Diego. And it was like, you know, 10 of them or so, and they rolled up, and one of them, they had the ammunition and all the guns in a pickup truck. It had a hard top. It was locked. Whatever's legally appropriate, so I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But they opened that bad boy up. The first words out of my mouth is this legal? Because it looked like they were ready for war. They had all kinds of stuff. I mean, the whole pickup truck was full of guns, rifles. They had sidearm. They had semi-automatic, automatic. They had rifles that would shoot someone a mile away and ammo for days. And we were out there just shooting everything up. And but they had a gun where you could actually look around the corner of a building where you stick the gun out and there's a TV camera, a screen, and you can see what the gun is pointing at and shoot it without sticking your head out. It's awesome. I wanted one of those, but I have no need for that. And they're talking to me like I'm some soldier. Like, Miles, if you want to shoot a lot of people, use this one. I was like, nah, I don't think I'm going to want to shoot a lot of people. And they said, well, if you want to shoot one person, I don't think I want to shoot one person. But every single gun had a different purpose. What weapon do you use when you want to attack your problems? How many of y'all got a problem in your life today? Some kind of problem. Amen. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up real high, real high. Now, everybody look around the room. You are not alone. We're going to talk today about how to use worship as a weapon for your problems. Because your problems will come on you, and one of the first things you do, you don't worship, you worry. You get scared, you get depressed, you get discouraged, you start hitting the bottle. Colt 45, 40 ounce. Uh-huh. Big old bottle. Yeah, I know. I held that bottle. You start smoking weed, you want to go watch pornography, you want to go have sex, whatever it is, instead of worshiping God. And I'm going to propose to you that whenever stuff comes at you, which it will to the day you die, as a matter of fact, death is going to be your biggest problem. My father died in August, 5 weeks ago, August 12th. For 3 days, we watched him die. For 3 days, he was in a coma and just gasping for air for 3 days. And it didn't hit me until I watched, we all watched that, the process of death. It's one thing to know you're going to die. It's another thing, and it's a scary thing, to know how you're going to die, because he could have been like that for a long time. And so you're always going to have drama until the moment you're in heaven. But the question is, how do you deal with it? And you have relationship problems, you have addiction problems, you have depression, emotional, mental, physical problems, relational problems, financial problems, all kind of problems, and a lot of us have multiple problems. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to talk about how you can attack your problem with the weapon of worship, and then in about 15 minutes or 17 minutes, we're going to take a little piece of paper that you have in your bulletin. It's a little white piece of paper. It's like the third of an index card. And you're going to write your problems on that card, and we're going to nail them to the cross. And you're going to say, God, this is not going to define me, and this is not going to ruin my life. Now, when we worship in the midst of our problems, it doesn't mean your problems go away. It just means that what the devil is threatening to do in your life with those problems goes away. Or can. In other words, you don't live under circumstances. You live under the grace of God. So in this story, very short story, Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, the southern portion of the nation of Israel. He is being attacked by three nations. And the first thing he's going to do is worship. The second thing he's going to do is worship. The last thing he's going to do is worship. Why? He says, God, this is your problem. I'm not going to make this my problem. Let's read. Chapter 20, verse 3. It says, Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Everybody say, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Oh, let me take a deep breath in. Say, seek the Lord. You got to seek God every day, not just when you think you need it, because the minute you don't think you need it is when you need it the most. A situation may be what you think is perfect, it's easy, I don't need to pray about it. Yes, you do, because the Bible says the angel can disguise himself, the devil can disguise himself as the angel of light. In other words, the devil can look like a sweet, sexy man, 185 pounds of steel and sex appeal, and got all his teeth and a job, and it's the devil. You know what I'm saying? So you better pray. Oh my goodness, Lord, help me, help me. Oh, okay, I see. It is the devil. That's why it's so hot. Verse 5, my wife, I used to go, and my wife was being in the bathroom. She was doing her face, you know, her whole night facial thing. And I would walk in the bathroom, and she was doing this every night. And I'm thinking, I still got it. Then I realized she was the toner. She was just drying her face with the toner that she was putting on. Fellas don't know what toner is. It's a cleanser. She was just drying her face. It wasn't me. So I was like... Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might so that no one is able to withstand you. We talked last week about preparing your heart for worship. Before you worship, you got to get your heart ready. And what we said was one very simple thing. Lift God up. Before you start singing, make sure you acknowledge that God is in heaven. Make sure you acknowledge that the God you're singing to is the God in heaven. Above all other things that are worshiped, false gods, over all your money, all your dreams, all your power, God is in heaven and you are on earth and you don't live under circumstances, you don't live under pain, you live under the God who is in heaven. You have to lift him up. Last two weeks we talked about Isaiah, who saw the Lord lifted up on his throne. Up. Everyone say up. You have to lift God up. Problems are coming at you. You feel like, I can't take the pressure. You say, wait, ho, 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 put God above that. And then all of a sudden, your problems go down here. God can handle your problems. We talked the last couple weeks that Isaiah saw the Lord lifted up, and above the Lord were seraphim, or seraph. Phim is plural for a seraph. A seraph is a fiery angel. I always wanted to see an angel. I know they come and they manifest themselves in different forms. So I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Friday and Saturday, and I was speaking at a men's event, Promise Keepers, and right before I spoke, the president of the Promise Keeper organization got all the speakers together, and he kind of told us what was going to happen for the day. And he said, we've been having amazing conferences throughout the country. We're going to have an amazing one tonight. Miles is the first speaker. He's going to give the gospel and do the altar call, boom, boom. And we've had all these amazing things happen in the past conferences this year, and we had an angelic appearance, an angelic visitation, an angel came. And I'm like, what? And they said, we took a picture of it. And I'm like, what? And so then he kept talking about other things that happened, and then the agenda and the breakdown. And then he said, anybody got any questions about anything? And it was quiet. And I'm like, I won't see the picture. Forget about when the worship starts at the conference. I want to see the picture right now. You got that picture? Because it's not that I didn't believe it. I just never seen a picture of an angel. He said, oh, yeah, we got the picture. And he gave it to us. Y'all want to see the picture? Oh, I know you do. I know you do. Now, first let me say, let's all equally acknowledge that there are angels. And let's equally acknowledge that they're everywhere. We don't see them. They're all up in here now, and they're just like doing this. Yeah, yeah. You get ready to see one of our boys. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We all agree on that, right? They manifest themselves as people. They manifest themselves as all kinds of different things. But when I saw this, it made me think about what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks of angels being fiery ones. Another thing. For all you technical people who think this may be a gimmick, it could be. The only problem is the only guy who saw it was the guy who took the picture. No one else saw it. God just opened his eyes to see it, and he didn't believe it, and he went to another place and started taking the picture again. And he came to the production people at the thing. He didn't know where else to go. He came to security. They brought him and said, and he was crying, shaking with his iPad saying, I don't even believe in this, believe in seeing angels. Here's the picture. Look on the stage. Can you zoom in? Boom. Now, those people don't see that. Just the guy who took the picture saw it. And God said, what's happening, man? How you doing? You cool? I mean, you cool? I don't know why I'm looking down. You cool? Everything? Y'all all right? Y'all good up there? Y'all good up there? Okay. Okay, let me tell you something. When you got a problem, lift God up, because that bad boy right there is one of God's servants. The Bible says that one angel killed 186,000 soldiers in one night. Those are his servants. They do his little easy work, like get you home when you're drunk. Like make sure that when you're going, you're kind of walking to your car, a little girlfriend, and there's a guy that's going, and the guy says, I'm going to protect you tonight. They do stuff that you don't even know what they do for you every day. First thing you got to do is, I got a financial problem. I got this problem. No, lift the problem up. Lift God up. And God said, you deal with my problem. And then, as they were praying and worshiping, a prophet said to the king, King, God has spoken, and you don't need to worry. Watch what he does. Now, first let me preface it. When you worship, doesn't mean your problem's going to go away. It means that the evil that the devil intended, God's going to eventually turn into something good. God can remove the problem right away, or maybe not. Maybe he changed it. Maybe he shows you that it's not really a problem. But we all know, matter of fact, raise your hand if you know, that you've learned more and grown more from your pain than your pleasure. Amen? So you don't want to say, Lord, take my problem away. Lord, do with it what is good for me. But I don't want to live under the pressure and the fear and the perception of how bad this thing could be. Because it's not as bad as you think. A friend of mine had a baby. They had a baby stillborn. The baby was passed away before it was born, and the baby came out dead, obviously. The doctor said, you need to see the baby. She said, why? Because if you don't see the baby, you're going to think something worse in your mind than what it really is. You want to see that it's really a beautiful baby that now is in heaven. And you don't want to imagine something because what you're going to imagine is going to be worse than reality. You always want to focus on truth, not information. Information, the devil just gives you information. It's garbage. Lord, what is the truth? The first thing that's true is that God is above all your problems. And that none of your problems are stronger than God, mightier than God. And then when he gets the news that God is going to fight for him, look what it says in verse 18. It says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head to the ground with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants fell before the Lord, worshiping God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come out here for a minute, come on right now. But here's what he did. Jehoshaphat did this. He fell down and did this. They haven't been to war yet. The battle has not happened, but he is worshiping God because of God's faithfulness. When you worship, it reminds your heart where your hope is coming from. When you worship, you are surrendering the battle to God. When you worry, you are taking the battle on yourself, and you are giving credit to the devil for his power over you. When you worship, you are giving credit to God for his power over everything. And so you want to say, Lord, I honor you. I know I got a problem bigger than I can take, but that is not my problem. I'm going to do whatever you want, but you will handle it. Some of y'all worship like this, and some of y'all worship like this. This is not worship. This is disrespect. This is worship. Now, I'm not saying when we worship, you have to be on the ground. It's an attitude of the heart. And when your heart's on the ground, your body is not like this. It's the attitude of the heart. Here's what we're going to do. I have the worship team come out. Here's what we're going to do. That little piece of paper you have, North County, East County, in a minute, I'm going to ask, we're going to break away to the campuses, and each campus is going to handle this part of the service individually. You're going to write on that piece of paper a problem. If your God is small, you will end up writing a small problem. Lord, I just want to be able to find my car after service. Keep that problem. You don't need God for that. You can just ask somebody. You don't need God. Don't write on there something you can do. Write on there something only God can do. Lord, I have cancer. My marriage is getting ready to break up. My parents are broke up, and I want them back together. I don't have a job. I don't know what I'm going to eat today. I need a place to live. I got to put a roof over my kid's head. If God is not bigger than all that, we got the wrong God. We shouldn't worship him. I want you to write. You can write on a bunch of, you can write on as many as you want. Do not put your name. We don't want to know your issues. We're going to put it on there. There's going to be hundreds of them on the crosses. But here's the thing. You don't even have to put the whole problem. You can just put one word, like him. God knows who him is. Matter of fact, you don't even have to write him. You can write, referring to him, it. God knows. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And then each campus is going to direct the people to the crosses in their campus. And then we're going to come put it on the cross. And then we're going to go back to our seats. And then guess what we're going to do? We're going to worship God for all that junk that he's taking care of. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We pray that you would encourage people today, God. They think this is not going to change anything. I pray you give them the faith to believe it will change. I pray you give them the faith to believe this will make a difference in their life. And this is something they do every day. Bless the campuses. Bless what's going to happen in North County. Bless what's going to happen in East County. Bless what's going to happen online, at the microsites. Change people's lives. Lord, teach us to use worship and to sing your praise when the devil attacks us. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what we're going to do, but don't move yet. On the main floor, we have two crosses, one on the left, one on the right. On the second level, we have a cross in the middle of the room and one on each end of the room. And then at the balcony, we have crosses on the ends. One word I want to encourage you, patience. Just take your time. Please do not write at the cross. Don't stand there and write a book. Just pin it and move. Stick and move. And then come back to your seat. And then we're going to have a great, powerful worship time. So go ahead.
Hallelujah.
as you are bringing your piece of paper to the cross, what you're saying to God is, God, here is my pain, here is my burden, and worship with us as you're doing it. You're approaching the throne of God with your burden, and you should be singing and singing, saying, Lord, I am so excited to give this to you, and I believe that it's going to make a difference in my life, and I'm excited about what's going to happen when I pin this on the cross. So don't think you're just going to stand there. Listen, you could worship, lift your hands up as you approach God with your burden. Amen? Let's sing that again.
Yeah.
Matthew 11. Thank you for being patient. It'll be worth the wait. Matthew 11 says, Jesus said, come to me. Everyone say, come to me. And then it says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is so happy you are coming to him with your burden, with your pain. As you're in line, you may say, I forgot this. Don't worry about it. If you can write it down, you can. He knows. Just come to him. And he's going to lighten your load. Just make sure when you put it on that cross that you are really putting it on the cross and you are really trusting him. And one of the reasons to worship is to continue to remind your heart and have your heart sing and remind itself who is king. The devil's not king. Your burden's not king. Your financial burden is not king. God is king. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's sing that one more time. Let's sing it. Let's sing it like real soft like that. Let's sing it like that. That means if you can't sing, you can't really tell as much when you sing it soft.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
You have won the victory.
Yourself. Keep reminding yourself.
Hallelujah, you have won it all for me. Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King, seated in majesty.
Do in a minute, after you get all your junk nailed to that cross, we're going to worship God for what he's going to do. It says after God defeated the enemies of Jehoshaphat, is they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem. And at their head was the king returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord made them rejoice over their enemies. In this case, your enemy is your fear, it's your perception, your pain, and your perception of what that pain is going to do to you, and the lies the devil's telling you in your head about how he's going to destroy your life. That's your enemy. God is going to have victory over that. Will you be able to look at your problems in the face and say, you will not define who I am? It says, they came to Jerusalem with harps, with lyres, with trumpets, to the house of the Lord, and they worshiped. Because of what God did. As soon as we finish these lines up, we're going to worship. Because God is doing something in your heart. And here's the greatest victory you can have. Where your problem could even get worse in the eyes of the world, but it doesn't faze you anymore. In other words, what used to scare you is now a joke. It's an opportunity. There's a story in the Bible where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Jewish boys, were being threatened, and they had to bow to a king, and if they didn't bow to the Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king, they would get thrown into fire, and you would think that would scare them. They tied them up because they wouldn't bow. They brought them to the edge of the fire, and the Bible says the fire leaped out of the furnace, and burnt up the guys throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. I never thought about this till just now. I wonder if the fire that came out was really one of those fiery ones we just saw. Amen. Wouldn't that be something? As the angel of fire came out and said, "Get off my boys." And they burnt them up and killed them. So here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tied up, and they have seen the fire come out of the furnace and burn up the Chaldeans that were throwing them in the fire. But yet they're not touched. The Bible says they fell in the fire. Now, I wasn't there, but I bet you they jumped in the fire. Why? Because the guys throwing them in were dead. So there's no one to throw them in. And I think they saw that the fire had no power over them. And what would have scared them, a regular person, they saw that God was on their side. They said, "It ain't going to touch us." And they jumped in. And here's what they told the king. "King, even if we die, we're still not going to bow. We could die. We're going to die anyway." So you want to get to a point where the devil says, "Boo," and you go, "Boo-hoo. My God is on the throne. What you got? What you got?" Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to go through pain. It doesn't mean you'll get what you want all the time. It just means it's not going to destroy you. And when you can get to that point, when God tells you to go do something scary, you're like, "Okay." Or you might get laughed at. Okay, people laugh at you anyway, so. Amen? Okay, we're almost done. Thanks for being patient, y'all. Let's give these people a hand for being patient. Amen? We're going to sing that one more time real soft, and then we're going to end, and we're going to worship God for what he's going to do. Let's do that one more time. We had a ribbon cutting 8 days ago in East County. And whenever you cut a ribbon or have a ribbon cutting ceremony, you never keep the ribbon. You only keep the scissors. Because the ribbon represents the barrier to the gift. And so you cut that, get that out of the way so you can get to the gift. and you keep the scissors. You ever see those big gigantic scissors they keep? Because the scissors represent that which removed the barrier. This is removing the barrier between us and God. Right here. This is the symbol. Amen. Sin was keeping us from God. God said, I'm removing your sin. We don't want to think about it. We want to focus on the cross. When problems come, the devil wants us to focus on the sin or the pain or the problem or the results of sin. We want to focus on salvation. We want to focus on what sets us free. And so you put your problems on this cross. You're saying, God, there's no way. This is the most powerful symbol known to man is the cross. Death could not hold you down. Or if death could not hold God down, certainly these little problems can't hold God down. These little problems shouldn't block God from you. So that's why you always got to keep worshiping through your problems and let the worship beat your problems down. And then you can look at him and say, okay, I got to get money. Okay, God's going to provide. I'm sick. God's going to provide. I need a man, a woman. God's going to provide. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're gonna worship that song one more time, and I want you in your head, I want you to be thinking about this. And I want you to be looking at your problem in the eye, and basically you're saying, death, you are, whatever your issue is, you are not holding me down. And you're gonna sing with your heart full of joy, looking at your problem, saying, you are not the source of pain in my life. You're not. You're not gonna define who I am. God is. And you keep your eye on it, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on, as you're doing that, this brother right here. That brother's one of the best drummers you will ever see in your life. I want you to, some of y'all have been peeping him out. You've been watching him. I want you, for all y'all who like, like that, and every time you come here, I when you see me back here dancing around, it's a lot of times because I'm grooving with that brother right there. I want you to listen to and watch him worship, because that brother worships on the drums. All these guys worship. Check him out. We're going to sing that song. Look at your problems and look at that brother right there at the same time. That's a bad brother right there. Every Sunday you come in here, I want you to watch them, because they're not playing, they're worshiping with their talent. A couple things. I want you to go home, and I want you to remember what you just did. And you may feel good for a little while. And later on, tomorrow, that feeling may come back, a fear, whatever, and I want you to go, death cannot hold him down. I want you to just keep telling God he's on the throne. God, I trust you. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I trust you, and you don't know how it's going to shake out. Some of you may have problems because of your own sin, and you just need to get punished. But God disciplines mercifully. He's going to get you through, and you're going to be better off in the end. You have to trust him. There are some of you in here, your marriages are having problems. I'm going to call you guys out. Go apologize to your wife. Humble yourself and say sorry, and do not say but. Apology does not have a defense. You just say, I was wrong and I'm sorry. Zip it. That's it. Don't worry about who's right. Just do your right thing. There's a difference between being right and doing right. Just do right. And say, I need to fix this marriage. And you fix it. You do whatever it takes. You serve your wife. But the Bible says that she's supposed to serve me. No, it says you're supposed to die for her first. Then she'll serve you. So you fix it.